Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of Cowes Colleges and Doc Mo Ford. Now, why would I say this on an October 24th, 2018, on a beautiful, beautiful morning? It was 27 degrees as I drove into town from the south this morning. I think it's a little bit warmer than that. But I would like to introduce you to the man, Jacob McQuiston. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Is that Scottish or Irish?
Irish.
Irish. I'm part Irish, so we're going to get along really well.
There you go.
And my last name is Eddy, but my paternal grandmother's name was Casey when she came from County Clare. Yeah, County Clare in Ireland.
Okay.
So I would be a second generation Irish person. How about you?
Let's see. Fourth generation.
Okay. Well, you're a lot younger than I am. And I mentioned Doc Mo Ford, and ladies and gentlemen, right here in our studios, we do not have Clancy Doc Mo, but we do have, what is exactly the situation going on at Doc Mo Ford? Because I've known him since he came to town and got it from it was called J.D. Ford, and
yep,
the bright orange building on the south side of Northfield is the way we said it, and there was nothing very much past J.D. Ford at that time. What's the deal there? We'd really like to know.
Well, the main owner of our other two stores, which is Hastings Chrysler Hastings Ford, his name is Doug Erickson, and Clancy have been friends for 30 years. And Clancy has decided that he wants to retire. So I have been there running an under management contract for the last 2 years. And we will be buying out the business at the end of this year. But Clancy will still have his office. He'll still be there and be able to come and go as he pleases. So that is what's going on.
Okay, so his office, by that you mean he's going to have all of his pictures of his fish and his deer and all of that other great stuff that he likes to display. He's a great hunter and fisherman.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Do you share that with him?
I used to hunt and fish a lot as a kid, but with work it's kind of difficult to get away.
Yeah. Now, are you a Hastings native?
No, I'm originally from Menominee, Wisconsin.
Menominee?
Yep.
Every time I hear that name, you know what I think about?
What's that?
Many, many years ago, I got a letter from the guy that owned the Menominee radio station at the time. And we're talking 35, 40 years ago. And it was a real nice letter, and he wanted me to call him and make an appointment for me to come in, because he had been listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair and thought maybe I could get him to be my morning man. Now, Menominee is a little bigger than Northfield, or lots bigger?
Probably about 16,000 people.
Oh, without the colleges, that's where we're at.
Yes.
Okay. But Northfield was considerably smaller than it is now, and Menominee was bigger, and it would have been what you call not a lateral move, but a move up in the industry. But I like Northfield, so I thought, I'm going to...
There you go. I like Northfield a lot, too. It's a wonderful community.
And Menominee has a river going through it, correct?
Yep, Red Cedar River.
And it also is a home of some brewery, or is it Leinenkugel there?
Nope. So it is Lucette Brewery, Leinenkugel's, and Chippewa Falls.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is going to be interesting. You graduated from high school in 2004, which to me is like yesterday, and for you it's 14 years ago. And did you, when you say we, who are we? You have three dealerships?
So we own Hastings Chrysler, Hastings Ford, And then at the end of this year, we'll be Doc Mulford Chrysler here in town.
Are you going to keep the name? Or is that a secret?
I don't even think we've discussed that, actually.
Okay. All right. And when you say Chrysler and you mention Hastings, I think of a guy by the... I think Dave Osborne might have been involved in that dealership many years ago. Dave Osborne played running back for the Minnesota Vikings, number 41, during the Super Bowl years. That's a long time ago.
Okay. But, so that would have been like Purple People Eaters?
Yeah, that was the same era. And, you know, you weren't even around when that was going on. But you might want to check with some folks that have been around for a while and see if that is true. I don't know if he did it and or didn't pull the trigger and didn't do it. But I know that there was kind of a conversation going on that he might be involved.
Okay.
Now, do you carry Jeep, too?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, well, check that out for me.
Okay.
You know, you have nothing better to do, I'm sure. So, anyhow, when you had the opportunity to come over and check this out, it's because Clancy and
Doug
were good buddies.
Yes.
Did they hunt and golf together and fish?
Yeah, they have. They've been to Canada, northern Minnesota. They've done a lot together over the years.
So is he a little younger than Clancy?
I believe Doug is 8 to 10 years younger than Clancy.
Okay. So Clancy was kind of a mentor, maybe.
I know they ran in some of the same circles and just became good friends.
Okay. And who else is it? Doug and who else?
Bart Hoopert.
Bart, okay. And then you?
And Joe Linder.
Joe Linder.
Yep.
Okay. So are you in ownership or, you know, if I ask you a question that, you know, tell me, it's none of your business, but are you an owner or are you management?
I will be.
Oh, yep. Good for you.
Yes.
That's got to be a thrill.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you dream about someday.
Yep. A nice thing. What is wonderful about the company or who we are is Doug has really believed in investing in his employees and helping to grow people and giving people opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So the other two main partners both started out as salespeople in the 90s.
Wow.
And same thing, I started out as a salesperson too.
Okay, I thought maybe you might. One of the most important jobs in a dealership, I assume, is parts manager.
You know, the one thing is every single employee in all of our stores is important. And what we really try to build is to have lifelong relationships with our employees, to be a family-oriented business, and just to make it a fun place to be, both for employees and customers.
All right. Where are the dealerships located physically?
So Hastings Chrysler is right on the corner of 61 and 316 in Hastings. And Hastings Ford is about 3/4 mile further down the road on 61.
All right. So if I were coming into town on 47,
yep,
would I take a right?
If you are going to head from
Northfield on 47.
Yep. So if you're going to head from Northfield to Hastings, you would head out of town. You would get on 47. You'd take 47 to 190th, and then you'd take 190th across to 61.
190th.
Yep.
Well, I always go right up to the stop and go light and take a left and go to Prescott or whatever.
Yep, and you could always head that way, too. It's just that's the fastest way to go over.
But you are on the main drag?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yep. I'll have to check that out.
Yep.
They have some an old courthouse or some old homes along that area.
Yeah.
And KDWA, the local radio station, is along there. Dan's a good friend of mine.
Yep. I know him pretty well, too.
Yeah, well, you say hello to him the next time. I guess he acquired another station from what I heard.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, my guest this morning is Jacob McQuiston. He is the general manager of Doc Mulford Chrysler and Jeep, and he soon will be a part owner along with his other partners from Hastings, Minnesota. And have you moved to Northfield or do you commute?
Currently, I commute from Red Wing, but I will be moving to Northfield.
You commute from Red Wing?
Yep.
To Northfield?
Yes.
And you before you commuted from Red Wing to Hastings?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you have a family?
I do. I'm married, and I have three beautiful little girls.
And what is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Nicole.
Nicole. Do you call her Nikki?
I don't.
Okay. Then I won't. Nicole. And what are your kids' names?
Molly. She's
Molly.
9.
I like that name, Molly.
Mackenzie is 6.
Oh, we're going with the M's.
Yep.
Mackenzie.
And Macy is 3.
And Macy. Okay. Mackenzie is how old?
6.
Okay. And then how old with the 3-year-old?
And Macy is 3.
Macy.
Yep.
Is that a girl's name?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Macy. Okay. So every 3 years you have a child, and so you're due coming up. This is the year. Now, is the fact that you named your girls Molly, Mackenzie, and Macy is so that they would be the M&Ms?
Yep. They all have M middle names, too.
And what are their middle names?
So you have Molly Marie. You have Mackenzie May and Macy Margaret.
Wow.
And all the middle names are family names.
Sure. Okay. How about you? Where were you born?
Menominee, Wisconsin.
Oh, I already asked you that, didn't I? How did you graduate from high school?
Yes,
there?
I did.
Okay. And Menominee. I always think of that song, Menominee.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yes, I do.
Did you guys sing that? Menominee.
No.
Okay. I don't even know how to spell Menominee. I jot this down so I can remember things. How many brothers and sisters?
I have 2 brothers and a sister.
Who's the oldest in the family?
Would be my brother Mark.
Mark, okay. How much older is he than you?
He just turned 40 on the 21st, so okay. He is 8 years older than me.
Okay, and then after Mark?
Would be Chris.
Okay, is that a girl or a boy?
Boy.
Okay, and how much older is he than you?
7 years.
Okay, and then after Chris?
Would be Lindsay, my sister.
Okay, Lindsay, and I'm spelling this phonetically. And how much older is she than you?
She'd be 4 years older than me.
Okay, and then you? Or is there another one?
Nope, that's it. Then me, I'm the youngest.
Okay, and so you're the baby of the family.
I am, they used to beat me up.
Well, I can't, based on your size, I can't imagine that.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, yeah, okay. Now, one of the things that I do, I get kind of personal on the show, and once again, I remind you that if I ask a question that, just shake your head or whatever. But I like to learn these things because we're recording this, and then we're archiving it.
Great.
And so Molly and Mackenzie and Macy will have a soundtrack of this interview when you're a grandpa.
Well, there you go.
Okay, and they'll learn all about it. Now, I have never had the chance to sit down with either my grandparents or my parents and learn about them because you just don't do that. So I do it, and it's good for the family, particularly with the Irish background. You might want to talk about that. But what about your mom and dad in Menominee with 4 kids? What did they do for a living?
Well, I actually have a mom, stepdad, and a dad.
Okay.
Mainly live with my mom and my stepdad. My stepdad works at Skyline Graphics in Eagan. My mom does home health care, and then my dad is retired, but both my dad and my grandfather, his father, worked for UW-Stout for many, many years.
Okay. As athletic directors? Or?
Nope. They were both in custodial and maintenance.
Okay. And that's a good work example of hard work and getting an education at the same time.
Yep.
I just picture these people that have the opportunity to do that, if they go into a classroom and before they start the work, look at the chalkboard and try to figure out what they were talking about. You never know.
Yeah, they both definitely had many, many stories.
Now, I had a stepmother and a stepfather, so we have something in common in that regard. One of the things, you were raised with your stepfather.
Yes.
And mom, and Fortunately, my dad got married while I was young, and my mom didn't marry till after the kids were out of school.
Okay.
One of the things that did you get to know your grandparents, as we're getting at?
Yes.
The McKenzies. I'm not saying that right, am I? McQuiston.
Yes.
Yep. I've never heard that name before.
Okay.
McQuiston. I have never. Do people say that frequently?
Sometimes. Sometimes. I mean, I would say it really depends on the area.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it's a town where there's no other McQuistons that I know, then yes. I'm actually named after my grandfather. He actually goes by Jake, typically.
Okay.
But both my grandfather and my grandmother, on my dad's side, are still around.
Oh, good, good.
I wish I got to see them more, but sometimes life gets busy and
do
it's difficult.
Do they live in Menominee?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and what did they do?
Well, my grandfather worked for UW Stout for 40 years.
Yeah, okay, 40 years?
Yes.
Wow.
And my grandmother stayed home.
Okay. Now, how about your great-grandparents? Can you go back that far?
My great-grandparents.
On your dad's side?
On my dad's side. My great-grandmother was still alive. I believe she passed away in 98.
Okay.
And she would have been the only one that I met or knew from my grandpa's side. And from my grandma's side would have been her stepmother.
Okay. So can you go and say, well, they came over from Ireland three generations, four generations, or...
So I believe it was my great-grandfather that came over. Yeah, great-grandfather. Like I said, I think it was four generations back.
Okay. So Ellis Island, I suppose, is where you came through back in those days?
That I don't know. I know they originally settled in Pennsylvania and then moved over this direction. So some of the McQuistons settled in Pennsylvania, and the rest of them settled, as far as I know, in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Okay. The reason I ask that is because who would know? Maybe they were part of the Irish Mafia back in the 1800s, where they were considered, throwaways by some of the English, etc.
Yeah, no, I think they were just farmers.
Yeah, farmers? Wow.
Yep.
Okay. And how about on your mom's side?
On my mom's side, that I don't know quite as much. I do know that my grandfather on my mom's side, that both his parents died when he was pretty young. I think one of them died when he was 9, and the other one maybe died when he was a teenager.
Okay.
And then on my grandmother's side, I believe they were around a little bit longer, but they were all gone by the time I was born.
Okay.
My grandma, who has passed on, was about 4'9" with jet black hair.
Wow.
And very nice, unless you made her angry. She was Italian.
Oh, Italian. So you have Italian and Irish in you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Yep. And my grandparents on my mom's side used to own a cafe until my grandmother got sick. So I grew up around that quite a bit, helping out in the restaurant on the weekends. They had a Friday fish fry that was extremely, extremely busy.
And did you bus, or did you wait, or did you wash, or did you do all of them?
I did whatever my grandpa told me.
Okay. Did he pay you?
With food.
Oh, all right. And what was the name of the place?
That was called Mama T's.
Mama?
Yep, correct. Mama T's.
Mama T's.
Yep.
The reason I ask that, we have a former employee by the name of Maureen Valley, whose father owned a jewelry store in Menominee. I think it's Menominee. What was the other one? I got it confused. It was Leinenkugel. Chippewa Falls.
Yep, correct. That was Chippewa Falls. And my grandparents, the cafe that they owned, was in Hammond, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Fish Wright. Very popular.
Yes.
Did they play bingo, too?
Not that I remember.
Okay. Well, now, did you say that of all your grandparents, you still have some living?
Yes, yes. So my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side, and my stepdad's mom.
Okay, well, when you get together for the holidays and you bring the grandkids over or great-grandkids, sit down and chit-chat with them about their experiences, where they went to school and how they end up here and doing that and doing this. It's a lot of fun to learn all that stuff.
Yep. And I was actually fortunate enough that in school they actually we got to do a project on someone in our family. So I did a project on my grandfather. So I actually sat down, and I still have a lot of recordings of conversations that we had. And then I wrote a report on it. Now, that was a long time ago. That was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
But I do still have all the recordings.
Is it on reel-to-reel?
It was on just little mini cassette.
Yeah.
And then I actually put it on a computer.
Oh, smart man.
Yep.
All right. Good for you.
Yeah.
And maybe your grandkids will do that someday, whatever formula they use, 25 years from now. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is the general manager of DocMo Ford, Jacob McQuiston. Did I get it?
It's McQuiston.
McQuiston, okay.
Close.
I'm going to talk a little bit about a place in Northfield. I don't know if you discovered it yet, called the Quarterback Club.
Yes.
You have discovered it.
Yes, they have good food.
Yeah. Have you? What's your favorite thing from there so far?
It's a toss-up. I like the ribs, I like the chicken, and I like the burgers.
Okay. I like the ribs, I like the chicken, I like the burgers. And they have all kinds of others. Sometimes I'll go in and order a tuna fish salad sandwich and an egg salad sandwich.
No.
And they're both good. And, two sandwiches, that's not bad for lunch. And, of course, their baby back barbecued ribs are... Well, there's just mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of that special sauce.
Yeah.
Now, do you order the quarter rack, third rack, half rack, full rack?
I think I ordered the quarter rack is what
and
I
you wish you would have ordered more.
Well, usually I order it with something else.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's so darn good.
Yeah,
and did you know that the Quarterback Club is locally owned and locally managed?
Yes, I did.
For over 50 years by Dale Finger. Have you met Dale?
Yes, I have.
Well, good for you. You're getting around town.
I try to.
Well, good for you. And by the way, I got a big thank you that I want to give you right after we take an important time out on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Hey, what you selling?
Fun.
It looks like a lot of fun.
You know it.
Can I give it a test drive?
Absolutely. Just be careful. It has a lot of power.
Oh, man, this is awesome.
Whether you're in the market for a new dirt bike, jet ski, four-wheeler, motorcycle, side-by-side, or pretty much any other fun thing you're looking for, remember Leo's South in Lakeville. We sell fun.
Portable one, the one you want at Leo's South.
We sell fun.
Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
It's here. The Dundas Dome is opening this Saturday with the first open dome of the year, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The bouncy houses will be out. The cost is $5 per person. Children 2 and younger get in free. Check out their new website, dundasdome.com, for available dates and times and this month's open dome times.
We're back on the air, and I'm going to try something here. I'm going to play the number one song of all of the year 2004, the year you graduated from Menominee. What are the Menominee's nickname?
Menominee's nickname, you talking for the sports team?
Yeah.
Well, it was the Indians, but they considered that not PC, so now they're the Mustangs.
The Mustangs, okay. Now, this was the number one song in 2004.
All right.
I'm going to start it, and if you know the song, and if there's something in the song like, you know, the F-bomb or something like that, tell me to stop it, all right? That's if you know the song. Let's give it a try.
Peace up. Yep.
There's swear words in this?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't continue to play it.
Thank you. Thank you. I did one time, and I think it was Tim Freeland come flying in the studio and reached over me and turned off the audio. And he says, you don't want to play that on the air. And I don't know that music.
Yep.
So thank you. All right. We'll have you be the judge on the number two song later.
Okay.
Here's the thank you. Last Tuesday, a week ago yesterday, the Defeated Jesse James Days Committee elected new individuals for the various positions on the board. And Galen Mollica, who manages the Eagles Club and also is a county commissioner and has been on the committee for decades, became the new general chairman. And at that point, you presented a check, though, to Deb Anthony, who was the general chairman for the last 2 years, and you and Clancy came in and handed over a check to our committee, and I don't recall exactly what it was for, but I hopefully think you do.
Yep.
And how did the committee earn that, and as much detail as you want?
Yep. So at both this store here and our store in Hastings, we do what's called Drive One events through Ford. So you can have Drive One for your school and Drive One for your community. So Drive One for your community events is something that we have to put in for, that we have to petition for, because Ford only does so many a year. And that was for Ford Defeated Jesse James Days. And what we do is we set up cars at the dealership. We put up a bunch of advertising, and we try to push it in the community, too, to get people to come in and test drive vehicles. It has nothing to do with selling cars. It has nothing to do with anything else besides for every single vehicle that we get someone to test drive that is a brand new Ford product, we get $20 from Ford to donate. So we got 229 test drives.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
And even though Ford excludes a certain amount of them for whatever reason, I believe we got a check for $4,500 or $4,600 that we were able to defeat that we were able to donate for Defeated Jesse James Days for the bleacher raising. And then we also do one every year for Prairie's Edge Humane Society.
All right. You know, one of the things I have to admire you for already, you have said defeat of Jesse James Days, never Jesse James Days.
Yes.
And that's our pet peeve is people say Jesse James Days. Nope, it's defeated Jesse James Days. And you did very well.
Yes. Well, that's something that I want to continue, you know, even when Clancy is retired, doing more traveling and not there. I just want to continue our commitment for the different things that we've always done in the community that we want to continue in the community. And for the couple that I've been a part of, it's been an absolute blast. I had a lot of fun this year being in the parade. I was in a dunk tank.
Was that you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm
sorry. It was a little bit cold.
Yeah, I was doing the announcing at the on Bread Square, and I didn't know who was in the dunk tank. Yep. I'm sorry if I would have known that. I'd have stopped the parade and thrown a ball. So was that a fundraiser, the dunk tank, or was that just a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. I wanted to do something that would be fun and memorable, and the whole point of anything like that or any celebrations, I think, is about community and family and making it fun and memorable. And the more we can do in our community and the more that we can bring people together, the stronger community that we will have.
Were you impressed with or had you been here before for the celebration?
You know, before I had come to town to work at DOCMO, I had never been here before. But the rodeo is a lot of fun. The parade's a lot of fun. All the different stuff that comes to town, I think, is great. I think it's great for the community, but I have to selfishly say I really like the locals' night that they do.
Townie night?
Yes.
Thursday night, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and that's Townie Night.
Yes,
and that's a good. And as the years go by, you'll be meeting people down there, and that will grow the number of people you know.
Yes,
and so when you're down there, you'll even have more people to say hello to because you'll get to know more people. Was there a similar celebration in Menominee?
You know, the only celebration that they really do is Freedom Fest on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I think is unique about the communities is Menominee also had a bank that was robbed, which was the Kraft State Bank.
And what's the history behind that?
I don't exactly know. I researched it and read about it when I was younger, forgetting some of the details. But
but it wasn't infamous like...
No.
Well, I don't know if you've heard the story, but we had, when I say we, the First National Bank of Northfield, which was robbed by the James Younger gang, mm-hmm. had a robbery about 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. And the police chief overtook a passenger vehicle driven by somebody from town and said, follow that car. Because he just jumped in that car and he knew what car had just robbed the bank. And on the back of the bumper, you know what it said?
What?
Explore Wisconsin or visit Wisconsin. Something about visiting Wisconsin. The guy was caught.
Good.
And he had been at the Archer House overnight. And when they had arrested him down at the jail, they discovered that he enjoyed wearing women's underclothing.
Oh.
A little bit.
There's a twist.
Maybe a little too much information there, but it was quite a story. The police chief commandeering, I guess you'd say, the car and catching that guy. Once again, our guest this morning is Jacob McQuiston.
Yes.
Did I get it right that
time? Yes,
you did. And regular listeners know I have a tough time sometimes with more than one syllable words. So we're talking about you and where you came from, and we know that you got a little bit of Irish and Italian in you. Did any of that Italian come out in the form of a famous family pasta dinner, sausages, spaghetti?
Yeah, no, not really. My grandma had some good recipes that she passed on, but... My wife makes a really good lasagna.
Okay. I tried that once and forgot to boil the noodles.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they make the no-boil noodles. I don't prefer those, but...
Oh, okay. I didn't know what I was doing. But speaking about that, there's a guy in Prescott that is the baseball coach for the Prescott baseball team, and Jeff, and he makes... What did you just call it? The Italian dish that you just mentioned.
You're talking about lasagna?
Lasagna. And he was making it for his baseball team, so he's making a bunch of it in his kitchen. And it was delicious. And he told me how to do it, and I tried it, and I forgot to boil the noodles. So I needed a chisel to eat that food.
A little bit crunchy.
Yeah. Is it when people move out of their town and they go somewhere else, there's always that hometown pride. And you, of course, went to Menominee High School when they were called the Indians.
Yep.
But what is hometown pride that you carry when people say, where are you from? And you say, Menominee. Oh, tell me a little bit about it.
Football.
That's it?
Yep.
Football.
Yep.
Were you on the team?
I was.
Ah. Well, I like to take people all the way from birth to today, and so we'll get to that particular
sure.
part. But when you went off to school, your brother Mark was in high school when you started the first grade, approximately,
mm-hmm.
and Chris was right behind him, and then Lindsay. And then came you, the baby of the family.
Yep.
So did you have a McQuiston legacy that you had to hold up in grade school? Now we're in grade school.
Yeah, my brother, my oldest brother, Mark, had gotten in a fair amount of trouble. So I had to kind of combat that all through school.
Okay. And so how about junior high?
Yeah, that kind of carried all the way through. Any of the teachers that were there, I kind of, first couple weeks of school, I'd just say, hey, I'm not here to cause any trouble.
Really?
Yes.
Did they respect that?
Most of them.
Or do you think you might have got a bad grade because of the bad impression they got from your older brother?
Maybe at first.
Okay. So when did you get involved in sports?
I played sports from when I was a little child. I played everything. I played baseball, basketball, football. I kind of did everything. I think the last years I played probably baseball and basketball would have been eighth grade, and then I played football all the way through the end of 10th grade when I ended up getting injured, and that was the end of that.
Okay, so are you a Packer backer or a Viking fan?
Well, you know, this may not bode well with some of your listeners, but I was raised a Packer fan, but my wife is a diehard Vikings fan, and if I went to convert into a Vikings fan, she wouldn't have married me.
In your heart, though, you're Packer backer?
Yeah.
Well, when they play each other, do you really get into the game, or do you just kind of keep your mouth shut, or do you say...
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm more of a Vikings fan now for, you know, it's the local team. I'm a Minnesota resident. You know, games are closer. I actually just sent my wife and her father to the Vikings game. I believe it was on the 9th. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but...
It's coming up, or was?
Was.
Okay.
Yep.
And who did they play? Do you recall?
During that game, I believe they played the Cardinals.
Okay.
Yep.
Did they win or lose?
They won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have season tickets?
No.
You get them through the dealerships, I imagine. Is there a... Because Ford sponsors a lot of that stuff.
Yep, no, we don't have tickets. I just ended up finding those, and they were a good deal, and we bought them on Sunday morning, and her and her dad went. That's something that they enjoy a lot together.
So do they have a physical ticket, or do you do the social stuff?
Yep, so they were on their phones. It was all electronic.
So how did they do that? How does somebody find somebody that wants to buy those tickets, or how do you find somebody that wants to sell a pair of tickets? And you said that you sent them that morning.
Yep.
So tell us how that works.
Typically, you have something, StubHub, or you have a lot of other things that you can just buy them, and then you have them electronically, and then you can just download them on your smartphone. And they're usually a QR code or something like that that just gets scanned at the gate. It's the same thing like if you fly, you don't have to have a physical boarding pass. You can just have it on your phone and have it scanned.
Ah, that's way above my head. but a person your age probably got that all figured out. My wife does, and she's a lot younger than me. But it is amazing because I remember... people in front of I go far back as the old stadium in Bloomington, and then, of course, the Dome.
You talking about the Met?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, people standing outside in cold weather selling tickets, and then by the time it got to the Dome, there started to become counterfeit tickets.
Yep.
And I just can't imagine. That's evidently foolproof to do it electronically?
I haven't heard of anyone getting scammed as far as electronically with tickets. And you don't have to meet someone anymore to pick up physical tickets.
And does it show where your seats are?
Yep.
Okay. So do they cost the same or more or less when you do it that way?
They cost the same. I would say tickets in general for almost everything cost way more now.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah. But, I mean, when you buy them off of StubHub or whatever else you mentioned.
There's some fees, you know, just like Ticketmaster charges fees.
So if it's a $100 ticket, it might be $105?
No, it's more than that. I think the tickets that we bought with fees and all that, probably all the fees and different transfer stuff cost $28 for two tickets.
$14 a piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Plus the cost of the ticket.
Correct.
And I quit my season tickets before they got to U.S. Bank.
Yes.
And I mean, I looked at the prices, and then to buy the license.
Yes. Yeah, they are expensive.
No, I enjoy it on television. I really do. But back in the 70s, man, it was all the way through the middle 90s, maybe early 2000s, I always went until they built U.S. Bank Stadium. Once again, if you just tuned in, it's the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN. And our guest this morning is Jacob McQuiston, and he is the general manager of DocMo Ford, and we will be back in just a moment.
You may have heard that this November Civic Center referendum is only about a hockey arena. This couldn't be further from the truth. Voting yes will support a multi-use civic center along with providing an additional $5+ million to our community's parks and trails. The better part of 2 years has been spent developing a true Civic Center project that would include community meeting and conference spaces, along with two sheets of ice for hockey, figure skating, recreational skating, and curling. In the summer months, there would be space for many other sports, conventions, trade shows, arts and craft fairs, and so many other uses. Please vote yes for a stronger community on November 6th. This message has been paid for by the Cannon River Civic Center Advisory.
In Minnesota, we know long winters, and we know how to dig our neighbors out of the snow. Because whether it's our first Minnesota winter or our 50th, we've all been there. So when certain politicians want to divide us and make us afraid, we know that means they've got nothing else to offer. We're on to them. There are lots of ways to be Minnesotan, and all of them are greater than fear. Vote greater than fear between now and November 6th. Paid for by the SEIU Minnesota State Council Political Fund.
We're back live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota on Division Street at 2nd. Right across the street from the Northfield City Library, and it's a beautiful sunny day on this, the 24th day of October 2018, and it's Anti-Bullying Day and Get Together Day today somehow. I could tell you more, but I didn't write it down. I just read it. Okay, the number two song, the year that you graduated as a Wisconsin Indian, right? And tell me if I should turn this down.
All right.
This is number two.
But I understand why. See, it's burning me to hold on to this.
I don't know this song.
It's Usher and Burn.
But that don't mean I want to.
I don't trust it. I'm going to turn it down. By the way, the number one song was Usher. Yeah, Y-E-A-A. You said it just now,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair at 18 minutes before 10 o'clock on this beautiful Wednesday morning, the 24th of October in 2018. And we are chit-chatting with a gentleman by the name of Jacob McQuiston, and he was born and raised in Menominee. And we got you through middle school now. Let's get you into high school, all right?
Okay.
So now, when you were a freshman in high school, Mark was long gone.
Yes.
And so was Chris.
Yep.
So you didn't have to worry about anything after your sophomore year in regards to teachers getting an impression that...
unless, you know, they had been there a very long time.
Okay, tell me about... your football career and what happened and what position you played and all the things you remember.
Yep, so I played center and left tackle. I would say even with everything that happened, getting injured, having to quit playing, the biggest thing I took from it was hard work, dedication, and teamwork.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't regret it. I wouldn't change it for anything. But it was a lot of fun playing.
Did you start?
Yes, I did.
No, yep. I have a question for you. As a offensive tackle, did you say, or were you defensive tackle?
Center and left tackle. So it's
offense.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now we all cheer and honor and go crazy over the quarterback or the wide receiver or the running back. And in some cases, like the Vikings, the tight ends. And the no-name offense, where do you get your reward, the attaboys and way to go and all of that stuff? Because certainly the fans aren't going to go, yay, number 96, left tackle, nice block. How do you get that reward that the wide receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs get?
I don't know. I don't think I really played it for the reward per se. I think the thing that made it really easy, and if you talk about Menominee, Wisconsin, what a lot of people know it for is football, from probably the early 90s on, even through today. Not that there haven't been some years that haven't been as good, but being... usually being division champs or state champs is a pretty big thing. So I think overall is just being part of the team and getting recognized is maybe the reward off of that.
No, you mentioned that you had titles, division or regional or state.
Yep.
Did that happen the 2 years you got to play on the varsity?
Yes.
So did you go to state? Your team, the team.
Yep. Oh. So I think we went to state every year through. I'm trying to think of afterwards too.
I just want to know about you.
Yeah. So we would have been division champs, I think, both those years, and then I didn't play the end of the year, and I you know, as far as being immature and I don't know, almost even selfish. After I got injured, I didn't go to some of the games, and that was probably, you know, you're young, you're angry, you know, you kind of feel you were cheated out of something.
Well, I know the feeling, because I used to be a Raider for over 25 years, and I find it hard to be downtown during a Raid reenactment, particularly the first year I wasn't involved.
Okay.
Because I want to be there. I want to do that, and I couldn't. So I think I get your idea that, you know, standing on the sidelines with crutches, you know, might be pretty frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did you ever get any response from your quarterback or your running backs for doing a good job blocking or centering to the field goal kicker team?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that on both sides of it, just the coach, Joe Labuda, did a really good job, and the other coaches that were involved did a really good job of making sure of giving recognition when it was due. But they also, you know, it was during the summer, you're in the weight room every day at 6 a.m., you know, for practices we had 2 days.
Wow.
So it was a big thing. But for that, I think, you know, yes, obviously the quarterback, the wide receiver, anybody who was really standout definitely got more recognition. But that's okay. They were just better players.
But for example, was the quarterback club respectful and give you a couple of attaboys for giving him a little time in the pocket? I mean,
Do
you all go down if you guys don't do your job?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it was good. It was a good team. I mean, as with everything, not everybody was best friends. But as far as when you were out there, you were team.
Well, I'm thinking that you come back after you got a guy, a running back, you made a hole for him, and he gains 12, 15 yards or even 7 for a first down. When you go to the huddle, does that running back look at the lineman and say, hey, great job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of that. It was a really good team atmosphere. But like I said, there was still standout players. I mean, there's probably players from every year that got scholarships. I can't remember anybody going any further than college level. But I know there was a couple guys that I played with. One guy went to, I think, North Dakota on a full ride.
Ooh.
And there was a couple other guys that went a lot of other places. And one of the things I never got into, but there's a lot of guys that I played with that got into doing like the semi-pro football.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eau Claire as a team for sure. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I know there's a couple guys that play for that. But
I ask this of all young men or women that play a team sport or even track where it's individual on occasion. What's that one play that you'll never, ever forget that you were involved in specifically that you just, you know, when you think back, you say, oh, I remember. Everybody has one.
Well, actually, mine was when I was still in middle school, when I was in eighth grade.
What did you do?
We were playing Eau Claire. And it was just one of those plays like you almost see it on TV where everything just lines up. And all the blocks went off fine. Everything was just excellent. It was a long, long pass, and it was a touchdown, and it was just, like, perfect. It was, like, the perfect moment. I mean, there's a lot of other plays where, you know, okay, this doesn't go right, that doesn't go right, and you end up, you know, getting, I don't know, you know, 10 yards or 20 yards or something like that. But this was just a completion. We were on, I think, I don't know, 30-yard line, like R30, and the play just ended up going together and ended up being a touchdown.
Just like the coaches said it would if you everybody was on the same page.
Yeah. You know, and everyone said, well, you know, if you do this and you run this play right, it's going to be perfect, but nothing's ever perfect, but that one was.
Did you ever recover a fumble?
No.
Did you ever play defense?
No, because I couldn't get out of the four-point stance fast enough.
Oh, okay. How big of a guy were you your sophomore year? You're pretty tall. Want me to guess?
Yep. So
I think you are probably 6'3", yep. And probably right now weigh about 268.
No, nope. So right now I'm 6'3", and I weigh 295.
Okay, I gave you a compliment.
and
he's a big man.
Yeah, and when I played, I was about 240.
So you were a big man.
Yeah.
What number did you wear?
I wore number 20. Well, I wore a couple different numbers. They never, well, through middle school and high school. In middle school, God, that's hard to remember. That was a long time ago. I remember every number I ever wore. I think I was 8. Well, see, in middle school, they didn't put our names on the back of our uniforms.
Well,
and then in high school, I was 23.
Okay. I was 24.
Okay.
And they never put names on the back of jersey for anybody when I was back in those days.
Yeah.
Final break this hour on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We'll be back with Jacob in just about a minute and a half.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Keith Ellison. Extreme. Out of touch. Keith Ellison supported cop killers, advocates for open borders, and has been credibly accused of domestic violence by multiple women. Even the National Organization for Women has called for Ellison to end his campaign. What's even worse, Keith Ellison opposed a bill in Congress that barred sex offenders from teaching our children. Ellison has an extreme agenda, and he wants to use the Attorney General's office to push it. How can we trust him to be our Attorney General? We need Doug Wardlow. Wardlow will fight crime, work to lower health care costs, stop human trafficking and the opioid epidemic, and most importantly, keep Minnesota fair and safe. That's why Doug Wardlow has been endorsed by the Minneapolis Police Union. Doug Wardlow will look out for all of us, for every Minnesotan. Vote Doug Wardlow for Attorney General.
I'm Doug Wardlow, and I approve this message. Paid for by the Doug Wardlow for Attorney General Committee.
Here we go with number 3 from 2004. I think this one will be okay. I don't think there's going to be any swearing in this song. You recognize it yet?
I think it's Alicia Keys.
It is Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
It's called If I Ain't Got You. Guy's waving at you there. She's, I think, a judge on The Voice. I think that's her.
I think my wife watches that show.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. We talked about your football career, limited as it may have been because of an injury. You're still in high school. And what did Menominee have to offer other than social studies, math, and English, and whatever? Did you get into mechanics or woodworking or anything like that?
Yep. So what? I've always had a passion for cars.
Okay.
My stepdad ran a shop for 25 years, and his uncle ran a body shop.
Now, when you say a shop, was that a mechanic shop?
Correct.
And then a body shop.
Yep. So his uncle ran a body shop.
Yeah.
They were on opposite sides
of
the
town. So you had both sides of it.
Yep. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I always had a lot of vehicles. My wife claims, because I switch cars so much, that she's the only thing I've ever kept.
Okay.
So we've been together since she was 15 and I was 16.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So what car do you wish you would have kept? Everybody has one of those.
Yep. Would have been probably my 78 Camaro that I had.
Okay. And I wish I would have kept my 1970 Gremlin.
Yeah.
And my 1975 Pacer.
Oh.
And my 1960.
You're an AMC guy.
Yeah. Well, back then, that's what I could afford. And it was 1999 in 1970 for the Gremlin. But I did have the car I really wished I would have kept was the 1964 Lincoln Continental four-door Suicide.
That was a large car.
Oh, God, it was a comfortable car. And it was beautiful. And I traded it in on a Buick in 1974.
Okay.
And anyhow, when you're in high school and you took metal shop and your relatives were in the industry, so you were around them.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that first car that you had?
78 Camaro.
78 Camaro. Wow, that car was old.
It was.
Comparatively speaking.
Yep.
And was there a Z in the title? Z28 or whatever that
yep.
was?
So mine was actually a base. It was originally a 305 two-barrel car, and I built a 350 for it and put that in it and did a lot of other work to it, and it was a very fun car.
You know, you mentioned the Purple People Eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of them was number 69, Doug Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
Suds is his nickname, and I covered the Vikings back in the day. And one of the things when I invited him down to Northfield to join me on the air and go golfing is he says, "Do you have a Chevy dealer?" And I said, "Yeah." It was Enfield Motors at the time, which is now not Furlongs, but Apple.
Yep.
And he wanted, does this sound right, a Z28?
Yep.
Okay. What is a Z28? Because when he asked me that, I sent him down there to check it out. What was the big deal about that then?
So a Z28 would have been just a high-performance version of a Camaro.
Is that something a professional football player would think was cool?
Yeah. I mean, it would have lined up with a Trans Am in that year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had a Firebird, and then you had a Trans Am.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, Z28.
I had a friend that had a Firebird, and
okay.
he washed it every day. And I don't know where it is now, but I remember that decal on the hood. I thought that was so cool. Am I describing the right car? With the wings?
That would have been a Trans Am if it had a big bird on the hood.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So much for that. how do you, by the way, we were talking about the defeat of Jesse James days
yes.
and the 200-plus people that test drove your car.
Yep.
I went there.
Yep.
And you were right. There wasn't a salesman around because it isn't a pitch. It just try this car. And what really blew me away is I'm looking at all these cars and I'm going, well, why are all these kind of in the way from where you sign up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't in the way. They were the cars that you could test drive that were parked so you could pull out.
Yep.
And I ended up looking at them all and I thought, I'm not a pickup guy, but I thought maybe I should try one just because, you know, it's a pickup, F-150 or something like that.
Yep.
So I jumped in the Fusion, and that's a nice car.
It is.
It's is that the expensive model of Ford nowadays? Or, I mean, it had all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, I would imagine for that we probably had a Fusion Titanium pulled up, so it would have been a higher trim level
okay.
Of a Fusion. But they're a very nice car. They're a little bit bigger than a Focus. Good mid-size car. I mean, I'm a sizable person, and I can fit in there either in the front seat or the back seat.
6'3", 290 pounds.
Yeah.
Back seat, okay. I was going to say something about the Taurus, the Ford Taurus.
Yep.
That was probably one of the better cars that Ford ever ran off the line that was within the price range that a lot of people could afford.
Yep. And we still sell a decent amount of Tauruses.
Oh, they still make them?
Yes,
I don't know.
Do. Yep.
I know I got my daughter one when she at one time. And yep. So it ran forever.
So that is actually the size up from a Fusion.
Well, this was back in 1998 or whatever.
Okay, yep.
You know. So anyhow, I was pretty impressed. It's coming up on 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. You're listening to KYMN from Northfield, Minnesota. We're 1080 on the AM dial for over 50 years. And, of course, 95.1 FM. And we're going to take a brief break here, and I'm going to play my second theme song for the 10 o'clock hour. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Doodly doo doo. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. It is 10:02 on Kim. By the way, a really weird thing is going on in the studios right now. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Jacob McQuiston, and he is the general manager of DocMo Ford, and in partnership with Doug Bart and Joe over in Hastings with the Chrysler and Ford dealerships. He's from Menominee, grew up with two brothers, Mark and Chris, and a sister, Lindsay. He's the youngest of the family. Married to Nicole and has three daughters, Molly, Mackenzie, and Macy, 9, 6, and 3. And we're left off with him still being in high school. And you injured yourself. Where'd you hurt yourself playing?
My back.
You hurt your back?
Yes.
Is that still with you?
Yes.
Oh, gee. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So you had to turn your view to other things athletically. Did you get involved in basketball and baseball? And
nope.
Just everything?
Yep.
So how about academically?
Academically, really enjoyed math, science, social studies.
Really?
Still really enjoy history a lot.
Do you watch History Channel on TV?
I don't watch a whole lot of TV.
Oh, okay.
I watch stuff on Netflix.
Okay. When you talked about math, how far did you go in high school on math?
I took AP Calc, AP Probability and Statistics. Really enjoyed math. I enjoy numbers.
What about AP? What is that, a supermarket?
AP would be advanced placement, so okay. It's college. It's college credits while you're still in high school.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice head start, isn't
it?
So I don't want to embarrass you, but if you can, what was your GPA?
I graduated with a 3.93, honors and high honors.
Just a 3.93?
Yeah.
Just what happened to the 4?
Yeah, no, I wasn't quite that smart.
Okay. Well, so you're testing out on everything. And, of course, everybody's thinking, now when I say everybody, I assume your parents and you are thinking, well, now it's off to college I go. And Wisconsin has a ton of colleges and universities in various communities. So what was the go-to place that you or your family thought would be right for you?
Well, I went to tech school.
During high school or after?
After.
Okay. No thought about college at the time?
No. I really wanted to continue, you know, what I enjoyed, which was cars.
Okay. Now, were you the teacher or student?
For?
In tech school.
Tech school.
Well, you have all this experience.
No. With tech school, I was definitely the student.
But where was that located?
Eau Claire.
Eau Claire. Is that about 45 minutes from Menominee?
A half hour.
Yep. Okay. I did in 15 minutes once. And I got pulled over in Hudson. But you enjoyed studying, and your teachers that had your brothers and all that, they said, hey, this guy's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I was a little bit different. My brother Mark was kind of a troublemaker. Chris was he was really into art. He's the type of person, he can draw anything, make anything, paint anything. We are kind of polar opposites on that.
Is he successful in that now?
He does a lot with art and music.
Good. And how about Mark?
Mark is married, has a child. He works in a warehouse over in Chippewa Falls, and really, really enjoying having kids and his family, and he likes cars a lot, too.
Okay. Did he ever beat you up? When's the last time he beat you up?
When's the last time he beat me up?
Oh, as gosh. A big brother.
Well,
8 years older. I mean, he probably never.
I was 14, so he was probably 22, and that's kind of when the tables turned.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Well, we won't go into that too much. How about in socially in high school? Did you, like, go to the prom?
Yep. I went to prom, homecoming. I've been with my wife since she was 15 and I was 16.
Did anybody think that you should explore rather than the two of you dating each other all through your maturation period?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, we got that a little bit from her parents, but we just stayed together.
Now, is she a tall girl?
She's 5'7".
Okay, that's normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you see guys your size with 4'11" women.
Yeah.
And anyhow, so you went to the prom.
Yep.
And were you ever like the homecoming king? Or?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Did you ever get involved in a job during high school?
Yeah. Yep. So I worked at, you know, of course, a couple different restaurants. And then I worked at Northtown Ford in Menominee. Which would have been my co-op job in high school.
And co-op is a sponsorship through the high school to various businesses?
Yep.
Okay, and that not only provided you an opportunity to get away from the classroom, but also make money.
Yep.
Heck of a deal.
Yep.
And you worked for a Ford dealership?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And what role?
I think my title was sales and service support. So basically, I did anything that anyone asked.
Wash this car, clean out that trunk.
Pick people up, drop people off.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Detail cars, just a lot of different stuff.
Do you ever have to detail a Ford Mustang from the 60s?
No.
Or a Volkswagen?
Nope. The owners did have a couple fun cars that they brought in, but
I was thinking, you know, it's kind of hard. Got your size to get in the back seat of a Volkswagen. So you went off to the trade school. Was that a 2-year associate degree?
Yep. So I went to school for HVAC.
HVAC.
Yep.
What is that?
Would be heating, venting, air conditioning, and refrigeration.
A man your size?
And just didn't really enjoy it. My stepdad really tried to shy me away from continuing in automotive repair field, just based off of what he did. And, you know, it's just really bad for your body, and you don't want to be doing this in 20 or 30 years. So I figured, okay, well, you know, I like working with my hands. I'm pretty good at figuring stuff out. Maybe I'll do this. And through that, I just really found I enjoyed talking to people more. I still really wanted to do something with cars. So I ended up switching degrees, and I went to school for business.
Well, let's get back to the heating and cooling. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that require crawling into very small places?
I mean, I guess it could. I never really took it out in the industry.
Okay.
I mean, I went to school for it. You know, it's good. I can figure out stuff on my own furnace at home, but.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking about the ventilation.
Yep.
And the process, the blowing the heat and the ductwork.
Yep.
All right. So you went to the School of Business at what school?
Would have been CVTC, Chippewa Valley Technical College.
All right. And how did you like the business courses?
I really liked it. Where I struggled in school was, you know, they of course, make you take the generals, and I really believe that if you have the knowledge to test out of something, they should allow you that. So that was my biggest struggle with continuing education was just boring.
In other words, you were getting credits for the classes that you took that you already knew. And
yeah.
Could have tested out.
Yep,
on.
Yep.
And
that,
so you pay for those.
Yeah,
yeah, and you pay for the credits. So do you think it's a game?
You know, I do think as far as continuing education in the U.S., I do think it's something that does need to be fixed. I think it's a little bit of a broken system in the fact of they should allow some other different options. That, you know, you should be able to take a placement test when you're getting into school, as far as that goes, for whatever you're going to go for, and see if you can test out of certain courses or that you can do this or do that. Now, I do believe you should still have to pay for the credits, but not necessarily, you know, the classes and the credits or to do something like that. There's a lot of different ways, I think, that they have schools set up between regular college, tech college, private stuff, state-sponsored. But I think that with the amount of money that it costs for continued education, you either have to make a commitment now that you know when you get out of school that you're going to have X amount of debt and try to find some way to figure that out, or you have people that are choosing not to go to school even though they're, you know, smart and talented.
Capable.
Yeah. So I do think that it needs to be fixed. They need to do something with
it. But if you subscribe to the fact that you'd like to be able to test out on a particular course,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and then you just talked about the cost of the
yep.
credit, and you also said, I wouldn't mind doing that, paying mm-hmm. for it. So can I visualize you going into the administration office and say, test me out on this particular course, and I have my checkbook with me. And you go in, an hour later you come out, you got a 3.4, and it's going to cost you $900. Do you believe that would be the way to go? You still got the high price and the cost.
Yep, but I think, you know, there's certain things that are related to your field or related to what you're getting your degree in that obviously you have to go to those classes. You have to get that. I mean, there's certain things you need to know, and if they're going to give you a degree in it. But if there's a freshman level math class or a communications class or something like that, that is a base level, a freshman level, that if you have the knowledge, why can't you get that out of the way? That way, instead of having 4 years or 5 years or even 6 years of education, depending on how long it's going to take you to get through, that not only can you shorten that up to be able to, you know, start being a you know, kind of a part of society out in the work field, that they should be able to do that. Now, obviously, the school is still going to have to get their money for the credits, but if you're not in the course, why would you pay for the course?
Okay. That's calling wanting your cake and eat it too, or something like that.
Kind of.
Yeah. You know, I have a prosthetist that I found out when he was sitting behind that microphone there that he went to school longer than a medical doctor.
Yeah, there is.
I was taken aback by that.
Yeah.
At 10:15 on 1080 Radio, if you just tuned in, my guest this morning is Jacob McQuiston, and he is the general manager of Docmo Ford Chrysler Jeep out on Highway 3. And we are chit-chatting about how he ended up in Northfield, and we still have him in Menominee. Bum, bum, ba, dum, bum. That just goes into my head. A lot of listeners, particularly one or two or three, always say, oh, yeah, here comes the question. Tell me about your first bicycle.
My first bicycle was, I believe it was a black Huffy with a yellow writing on it.
Okay, was it a hand-me-down?
I have no idea where it came from.
Okay. not your neighbor's backyard, I hope.
No idea where it came from. If my parents bought it new, or if it came from another family member or something like that. I just remember riding it.
All right. And so while you were in high school, you had various jobs.
Yep.
And you went to the prom, and you boycotted yourself from football games, and you're a motorhead, and you go off to trade school, and you then end up trying to go to the university or the college in Menominee?
Well,
college courses or?
Yep. So they were actually both in Eau Claire, and went to school for HVAC, and then I went to school for business.
Okay, and how did that work out?
I took a lot from it. I wouldn't really say with where I'm at right now or where my path led me to in life that completing that would have gotten me anything besides the fact of, I think when you have a degree, when you do that, no one can ever take that away from you. And it is good to complete things and to carry it through, but with where I was heading in life and what I wanted to do and what I saw my path to be, I guess I didn't see any more value in it.
Well, when did you and Nicole get married? You graduated from high school in 2004.
Yep, we got married in 2009.
5 years.
Yep.
All right. And what did she do with her future?
So she went to school for elementary ed with a math minor and got completely out in 4 years with her student teaching and everything with that. And she was teaching in Red Wing, which is what brought us there. But now that we have three kids, she stays home with our girls, and we both see a lot of value in it. And that's time that you can't get back.
Amen. Once you get a question that you certainly can say, I don't want to answer that. Do you still have both student debts?
No, neither.
Okay.
I paid for all my schooling in cash, and we paid for everything we could of my wife's. When she was in school, I was working two jobs, and she was also working. We were paying for everything we could, and shortly after she got out of school, we paid hers off also.
Wow. Now, some of your peers, people your age graduating in 14 years ago, are tied down by some student loans, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would know some of these people because in that age bracket.
Yep.
Is it? Have you heard any horror stories?
Yeah. Yeah, there's
well, tell
there,
me one.
There's a.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to be listening.
All right.
But at the same time, I'm going to reach down and turn on that fan. Okay.
Okay. Yep. There's multiple people that I know, that finished college with $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 plus in student loan debt. So I think really across the board. I think that's a growing problem in our country.
Yeah, I think it's crazy.
Yep.
And, I mean, number one, the prices.
Yep.
And taking in the inflation since I was at that age. And number two, the fact that your student debt is there forever, just like taxes. Mm-hmm. And, how does a country allow people that aren't qualified to go to specific educational institutions, whether they be two-year associate degrees, 4 years, or trade schools, allow them to, borrow, 90% of the fee guaranteed to the bank or to whomever they're borrowing the money from, guaranteed. And it'll be over their head the rest of their life,
yep.
From the way I understand it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, but you do also have people where, again, they make their own choices, too, to where they have a four-year degree and it takes them 6 or 7 years to complete it because they maybe aren't doing what they're supposed to be in school or are, deciding to take longer, too. So that can be a difficulty. I know the college that my wife went to, which is UW-River Falls, whether you took 12 credits or 18 credits, you paid the same amount of money for a semester.
Oh.
So she took the most credits that she could and did well and was on the dean's list. And
did she take communications?
Yeah.
Because I lectured there on a couple of occasions.
Okay.
The chair of the communications department, doctor, can't remember name right at the moment, but mm-hmm. She probably knows her.
Okay.
21 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, my guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Jacob McQuiston, and he is the general manager of Docmo Ford Chrysler Jeep, located on Highway 3 South in Northfield, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Ben Martig, City Administrator for the City of Northfield. Did you know that if you decide to vote yes on the Civic Center and Parks and Recreation Improvement Referendum on November 6th, up to $3 million or more is expected to be generated to support parks, trails, and recreational facilities in Northfield and Dundas. Northfield and Dundas will vote to approve a half-cent local option sales tax that is expected to generate $10 million or more over 20 years. There are many things on the November 6th ballot. This local issue matters to all of us. Please visit the City of Northfield at ci.northfield.mn.us for more information. Be informed and vote on November 6th.
This informational message has been provided by the City of Northfield.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
The Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nurse Strand would like to salute the area FFA members at the National FFA Convention. The National FFA organization is dedicated to making a positive difference in the lives of students by developing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education. For all your insurance needs, farm, home, auto, and commercial, contact the Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nurse Strand.
Farmers Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock has everything today's farmers and ranchers need, from feed to fertilizer. Farmers Mill and Elevator has more than 50 years of experience working with the area's farmers to achieve the best possible products. They're proud supporters of the FFA programs in our local schools and salute the kids attending the national convention. FFA has had a positive impact on America's young people to help mold the future agricultural leaders of our area. Farmers Mill and Elevator salutes the area's FFA members.
You gotta know this one.
This must be Maroon 5.
You got it.
All right.
Name that tune. What's a lead singer's name?
Adam Levine?
Yes.
Yeah.
This Love.
Okay.
So what is yours and Nicole's Our Song?
God, we played a lot of songs at our wedding. It was hard for us to pick just one. I think the song's called God Bless This Broken Road by Alison Krauss.
Don't know it.
I know we played a Rascal Flatts song at our wedding.
I had a polka band at mine,
yeah.
So they didn't know too many. But our song is so sappy, Julie and I.
Okay.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Know that one?
Mm-mm.
Happy Together by the Turtles.
Okay.
You don't know it?
Nope.
Oh. Well, by the way, I have a clock behind me.
Yep.
I have a clock behind you, and you look at your wristwatch. What's the story there?
It's an Apple Watch, so I get notifications on it.
Oh. Are you responding?
No.
Oh, okay. Do you carry a cell phone or whatever you call it?
Yeah, it's in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Always keep it on silent.
All right. I never know whether my... You know, sometimes somebody said they called me and they didn't hear it, and there's this little thing on the side, and if it's black, it's on, and if it's orange, it's off, or,
yep.
Or if it's orange, it's on, or if it's black. Which is it?
Well, you have an Apple phone, I believe.
Yes.
So when you see the orange, it's on, I think it's on vibrate.
Yeah, it would vibrate.
Yeah, when it's orange, it's vibrate.
So I want black if I want to hear it.
If you want to hear the ringer.
All right, thank you. And I'll forget that. So let's get you out of school, okay? Your first job after you got all the degrees and certifications and kind of know what you want to do. What was your first job?
Well, I knew I wanted to stay with cars.
Okay.
So I ran an auto parts store for 3 years.
Which one?
Would have been an Advance Auto Parts in Menominee, Wisconsin.
Okay. And is that a were you the manager? You were the manager.
Yep. So there was the general manager there actually looked over like 3 locations.
Okay.
So he was kind of in and out. So I was the main guy in the store.
Okay, like a parts department guy.
Kinda. I mean, I would say an auto parts store is a fair amount different from a parts department in a dealership.
Well, they have different parts.
yep, and it's ran differently. You know, your parts department and your dealership mainly just services your technicians and what happens in your shop. Not that, you know, you don't sell parts to outside people or to other businesses, to whereas your main business in an auto parts store, if they have a good commercial department, is kind of all the shops around town.
Okay. Now, did you hit the road and be a sales rep?
Nope. I mainly stayed in the store. You know, we did go out and visit different shops just to make sure they were pleased and we were taking care of them how they wanted. And, but mainly in the store.
All right. What did you do after that?
Well, I wanted to land at a dealership. I knew that, and I just had looked, and I couldn't find the right one. Who you work for in the car business or where you work is more important than almost anything, more important than what you sell, because it's the integrity of the business, who they stand for, what they're about. So I bounced around a couple different things. I ran a bar, bowling alley, and restaurant for a while.
A what?
Bar, bowling alley, and restaurant.
Okay.
Because my one set of grandparents owned a bar, and my other set of grandparents owned a restaurant.
Okay.
So, you know, I knew a little bit about that.
Were you a good bowler?
No, I'm horrible.
Okay. I think I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, I am absolutely horrible.
Don't get all choked up about your bad scores.
So I did that. I ran a Sears dealer store for a while. which is a store that only does hard lines, like appliances, lawn and garden stuff, different things like that. And then I finally came across Hastings Chrysler Center. Really like their ad.
How did you run across that?
I just found their ad on Craigslist. And then I researched the
business. While you were in Menominee?
Nope, I was in River Falls at the time.
Okay.
Because that's where my wife went to school.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And just ran across that. And at that point, I had looked at probably 13 different dealerships.
Really? Were you offered jobs?
Yeah, but I just didn't want to work for a big corporation. I didn't want to work for the Walmart of dealerships, or everything would sound good, and then you'd research a little bit further, and I'd find something I didn't like.
You know, one of the things a man my age thinks about when we were young, we so looked forward to the fall and the new cars, because every year they were pretty much different.
Yep.
And it was exciting. The dealerships would put brown paper on their picture windows so that you couldn't see in on the floor. And then they'd have a unveiling with balloons and pop and coffee and streamers. It would just be a big deal. Exciting. And the Ford dealer was a Ford dealer. The Chevrolet dealer was a Chevrolet dealer. The Hudson dealer was a Hudson dealer. I'm going back.
Yep.
The Studebaker deal, you know.
Yep.
And then as I got older in the Twin Cities, for example, there are an individual or perhaps the family or the name at least that has different dealerships, American-made and foreign-made.
Yep.
And how can you say we're the very best and then the other guy you're paying to be the GM say, we're the very best, and then pay the other GM at the foreign car, we're the very best. I just couldn't accept that for many, many years. And I don't want to ask you your opinion, but because, I mean, you got to be true to who you are. But do you know what I mean? How I just, my age bracket found it difficult to believe a Ford guy could own a Chevrolet dealership or a Packard, could own a Studebaker or whatever.
Well, I do think that, you know, that there's a lot of good brands out there now. What I'm happy or pleased about that being that we're a Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram dealer is if someone's looking for a truck, typically if they come in, they either leave in a Ford or a Ram. You know, Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck in the U.S. for now going on 42 years.
I think I've seen an ad on television indicating that.
You know, Ram is gaining a lot of market share, too. They have their new body style that came out, which is what they call the DT body style, the old body style. The Ram Classic is the DS and the new DT, and we're even having a lot of people that come in that were driving Ford F-150s for the last how many years or how many trucks that come in and drive one of the new Rams and are very, very impressed.
Are they rodeo enthusiasts?
Yeah, we do. That is one thing that, another thing that we're proud of or happy that we do is that we sponsor a lot of vehicles for the rodeo, Defeated Jesse James Days. The rodeo is actually sponsored by Ram, and that's cool to have that gentleman come in, the Ram truck guy. He comes into town and does a lot with that. And it's just it's a whole lot of fun. So I am pleased, and I look at it differently, that we're a multi-brand store and that we have a lot to offer, because a lot of times someone will come in, and if they're looking for a new vehicle, they don't have to go anywhere else because they're shopping this vehicle and this vehicle, and it's something that I carry both.
Okay. And, of course, the general chairman generally, well, I think you offer up like half a dozen trucks during the Defeated Jesse James Days to the general chairman and the rodeo chairman and the parade chairman and all that. And we really appreciate it. And Clancy, one year when I was general chairman, totally and absolutely insisted that I drive a convertible. And I was looking forward to a pickup. I've never owned a pickup, and I don't drive them very often. But I thought, well, it would be kind of cool to drive a pickup around. And nope, you're driving this, it was a Chrysler, I think, convertible.
Okay.
And red.
Yep.
You know, so the typical, you know, man wants a red convertible type thing. And I enjoyed it, and when I brought it back, it was cleaner than when I picked it up, which was hard to do, but I want to make dang sure that there wasn't anything wrong with that car. I mean, every little speck was, I made sure, vacuumed it twice, and
you know,
didn't have to, but I just figure if you bring it back the same shape or better, it'll help you out again next year. So hopefully the cars are coming, or trucks are coming back satisfactorily.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously re-detail them when they get back because they, you know, if they're over at the rodeo, they do get dusty.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we had a lot of fun this year, and we even handed out a couple Jeeps. We handed out a couple Jeep Wranglers. We pulled the tops off them for people.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun just to get something different.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're working hand-in-hand with the committee. We appreciate it very, very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, Jacob McQuiston is my guest here. He is the general manager at Doc Mo Ford, and he lives in Red Wing and commuted to Hastings, and now he commutes to Northfield. And so you had all these 13 dealerships that you talked to, and your belief is you're only as good as the people that own and operate and are your bosses. And you evidently were very impressed with Doug, Bart, and Joe over there in Hastings for the Ford and the Chrysler dealerships. And remember, you're going to ask if Dave Osborne ever got involved. So they hired you on as a salesman.
Yep.
Okay. So how long ago was that?
Would have been very beginning of 2010.
Okay, so 8 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been around 8 years, and now they give you this opportunity last year to become involved as a partner.
Yep. So I came over to Northfield, would have been January 2nd to 2017.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So almost 2 years.
Yeah. And when they sat you down and talked to you, you were not a part of the ownership group at the time that you were coming to Northfield, or were you?
No.
Okay. So here... tell me what it was like. Here you are, a kid by comparison, and you're sitting in the, working in the two dealerships or one, and then these guys get together and call you in the office and they say, "We have an idea." Is that how it worked out?
Yep.
And you go, "What did I do now?" when they call you in the office, or do you go, like, "I wonder what's up," or how did that feel?
I would say in general, I don't usually go into anything thinking I'm in trouble. I try to, you know, run my life a little bit differently than that.
Okay.
But, you know, they just said we have an opportunity, and I said, okay, I am all ears. And it was very exciting. It means a lot to me to work for an organization or work with an organization that believes in giving people opportunities and growing people and investing in people and really saying, you know, hey, we would like to present this opportunity to you, and it's going to be a lot of hard work and it's going to be a lot of stuff you haven't done before, but we think you can do it.
And you were a salesman.
Nope. At that point in time, I was still part of management. I've done... As far as the sales side of it, I've done pretty much everything you can do. I've sold, I've done finance, I've done used cars, I've done new cars, I've helped with training, advertising, you know, just to try to be well-rounded. My grandparents and parents always told me, when you get into something, if it's, you know, what you want to do, try to learn everything you can do in that business.
Well, I'm wondering, what is the most difficult, selling a used car or selling a new car, or trying to figure out the value of a trade-in?
I would say none of it's difficult. You just go into it, and the main thing I always try to do, or the main rule, and it's something you learn when you're a child, is treat someone how you want to be treated. And a lot of times if someone comes in and if there's a difficulty or someone is upset or something like that, a lot of times it's because they had a bad experience somewhere else. So you just sit down and you try to talk to them and try to answer their questions. And if it seems like they're going five different directions, you know, you can just ask the question, what are you hoping to accomplish while you're here? What questions do you have? Whether we sell a vehicle or not, we want to make sure when everyone leaves that they're happy and that all their questions have been answered.
What about the senior citizen that is buying a new car with all those goodies and push buttons and maps and phones and, my God, it's just amazing what they put on cars nowadays. Do most of them just say, "I just want to know how much gas I got in my car and how fast I'm going"?
So we answer whatever questions that people have, and then the one thing that we always leave open, and I give a lot of people my personal cell phone number if they have any questions, is to make sure that even if you have to come in here 10 times to have us go through different features or different equipment, that we're always here for you. We always want to answer all your questions. You know, we always just want you to either call or stop by. Even after we go through features, sometimes people have a vehicle for a week to understand what other questions that they have or what other features that they want to know. Now, manufacturers as a whole aren't trying to confuse people. They're not trying to make things more difficult. They're trying to make things easier. But even if it's something I deal with every day and I may know how to use it, there might be someone that's trading in a vehicle that is 10 or 15 years old and the technology has changed so much that it's just completely foreign to them. So we try to have patience and we try to make it, again, as easy as possible. But on the other side of that, you would be surprised. It doesn't matter how young or old someone is. We do have people that come in that sometimes know more about the vehicles than we do because they've researched it for months.
Yeah, I you haven't heard this story, and I won't repeat the whole thing, but I got pulled over, this is about 14 years ago, whatever, because a car was approaching me, and they blinked their high beams onto me, mm-hmm. signaling I should do mine, mm-hmm. and I didn't, and it was a sheriff.
Okay.
And he turned around and pulled me over, and you know, can't you see me blink? Your lights are, your brights are on. I says, well, I couldn't at the time. He said, what do you mean? And so I lifted up my, I had just had an amputation.
Okay.
And it was in bandage. It wasn't a prosthesis yet. And I couldn't reach the bright light switch on the floor.
Yep.
On the left-hand side. I thought that was pretty funny. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do, because those used to be all the way to the left side of the vehicle. So you
right.
had your gas pedal, your brake pedal, and then that was on what's called the dead pedal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I couldn't reach it.
Yep.
Until I stopped, and then I could cross over.
Yep.
Okay, I thought you'd laugh harder. But anyhow, it's 19 minutes before 11. Well, actually, let's give the exact time. 10:41:08. And Jacob McQuiston is my guest, general manager of DocMo Ford Chrysler. And do you have any idea or compunction to bring your family of Molly, McKenzie, Macy, and your wife, Nicole, to Northfield?
Yeah. Yep. It's just it's kind of a funny story how it happened. So we had owned a house previously in Red Wing. Why
did you have a house in Red Wing?
Well, we had a house in Red Wing because my wife was teaching there at the time.
Okay, that you said that, all right.
Yep, and then we just really enjoyed the community, really liked the community. And from where I lived in Red Wing to Hastings was only about an 18-minute drive.
Oh.
Because I lived at the far side of Red Wing, and our Hastings Chrysler store is kind of at the far side of Hastings, you know, where they're both close to each other. And so I figured that even from, you know, one side of Red Wing to the other is about 15 minutes. So, you know, even if I lived in Hastings and lived on the far side of that, I mean, you know, so necessarily moving isn't going to get me that much closer.
Okay.
So I had put my wife through where she had to live in our starter home for a while we fixed it up and, you know, kind of added value to it so we could sell it. And we were looking at buying another house, and we had bought another house and moved into it about a month and a half before I found out I was coming over here. So it just kind of ended up like that. So we just have not had the means to be able to move over here as far as that goes. Northfield real estate here is a little bit more than it is in Red Wing.
Mm-hmm.
And want to make sure that I can come out okay on my house to get the house that I want here.
Totally, totally obvious. But you like the community and
yeah.
you, the school district and all of that.
Yep. I think, and it's good that the town I'm originally from kind of had a small town feel. The town that we lived in when Nicole was in college really had a small town feel. Red Wing does, and it does here too. So I think it'll be an easy transition when it happens. I think Northfield is an absolute wonderful downtown. I've met a lot of great people. Defeated Jesse James Days is a whole lot of fun. And it's I just think in general it's a great location.
Have you ever visited or toured either of the campuses?
In different business dealings that we've had for the dealership, I've met a lot of people at both campuses. But I've never taken an actual tour, no.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
Well, save it till next spring. I'll take you on a cruise. Oh, I can't. It's a General Motors convertible I got. An old one. A 75. That's
really? Really? Yeah. What do you have?
I bought a 19... Well, actually, I leased it in 1975 from a place called Miller Motors, which is now known as Valley Auto House.
Okay.
And it was on the showroom floor. And I told the salesman, the late, I'm not going to remember his name, but he loved talking and polkas. And he kept, hey, we're buying, he did his own commercials. We're buying advertising from you. You got to buy a car from us. And I said, there's two things I want. I want the convertible that's on the showroom floor or a 1964 Lincoln Continental convertible. Oh, I'm not going to find one of those in that convertibles for the dealer or for the owner, of the Ed Miller. Okay. And you know, 4 weeks later or less, he calls out, congratulations, Wayne. I said, what? You own a 1975 Oldsmobile convertible and all the other names that go with it.
Yep.
I said, I do. He said, yep. So I leased it and then I bought it.
Okay. So what type of Oldsmobile is it?
It's a 1975 Oldsmobile Delta 88 convertible with a 357.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyhow, it's not the 455. But and I've had it all these years.
Wow.
And I only use it. I just put it away.
Okay.
But they don't make them anymore. That's the last year. Now, you graduated in 2004, so maybe you aren't aware of it, but General Motors and Ford cut off the big convertibles in 1975.
Okay.
Except Cadillac built one for 1976 because of the centennial or bicentennial.
Okay.
So they don't make them anymore.
Okay.
But they'll probably come back. Have you ever owned a convertible?
I own a convertible currently.
And is it a Chrysler?
It is not. It's a Corvette.
A Corvette?
Yes. Yep.
Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Corvette?
Well, Steve, you got to give me a little bit. It's 95, so it's older.
Oh, okay. Do you ever watch a Mekon auction?
Yes, I do.
Boy, is that amazing.
Yep.
I mean, I don't have a lot of money. By the way, when I first bought into the radio station, it was 5%. And I always would drive by the tower, and I'd say, the bottom 5% of that tower is mine. And if I ever took mine away, the whole thing would tumble.
Yeah.
You know, just of it. You know, so I know the feeling that you're going through to have ownership. I mean, it's a great feeling. 13 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio. And that Corvette, is that one of those that is very valuable?
No, just a fun car to drive. Okay. Just an older fun car.
I traded a friend of mine. Unfortunately, he's passed away, but he had a Corvette. And we ran into each other on a Sunday morning, and he was cleaning out his Corvette, and I was cleaning out my Oldsmobile.
Yep.
And we came up with the idea of exchanging cars for the Sunday cruise.
Yep.
He's going his way, I'm going my way, we'll meet back here at. And we switched cars, and I started going south on Highway 3. I turned around, and I went back, and he was still there, and I said, thank God, I don't want to do this. I don't like sitting on my butt with my feet all the way up to the fireboard, bouncing like crazy. I mean, I'd want to drive it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you ever get tempted to use the gears?
No, I just pretty much enjoy it.
Okay.
Take it out. I don't drive it tons, but just take it out with the top down and
is it
just
red?
Cruise. Nope, it is the color. It's called a Hausa Color Chameleon. It's a flat paint. So depending on how the light hits it, it's either blue, green, purple, or orange.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. How do they do that?
I'm not even exactly sure. But it does look cool.
Yeah, I know. And the first time I ever saw that, I'm thinking I'm going crazy. Hey, that was a green car. Now it's blue.
Yep.
Oh, look at it. It's maroon.
Yep.
And I'm going, well, it can't be different levels of spray paint. It must have some sparkle in it that has different colors.
Yeah, the only thing I know about the paint process is it's multiple coats.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
Okay.
It's multiple coats, and it has to be done in a certain way, but I don't know anything more beyond that.
I'll bet it's really expensive.
I bet you it is. I bought the car with it already on there, so I was happy that I didn't have to pay for it.
That'd be really cool, man.
Yeah.
Really cool. A 1995, how old were you when you got that?
I've owned it for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yep. So it's a new toy.
Yep.
All right.
I've always had a fun car, though. I've always had something different.
Like
something
what
fun.
Other what other ones?
Well, I'm 32 and I've owned over 70 vehicles, so I've had a lot of stuff.
You know that I mentioned before that sometimes when I find it hard to fall asleep, I start with my very first car and see how far I can go before I'm asleep. And I have had nowhere near 70 cars. I think I can almost remember all of them.
Yep.
But 70, I mean, were you in the business yourself? Were you?
Well, being that my stepdad ran a shop for 25 years and his uncle ran a body shop, I just grew up around it. So there was a lot of stuff that would come in, people would get towed in, couldn't pay to fix it or couldn't pay their tow bill or different things like that. So we would just acquire vehicles or purchase them from people and fix them up and sell them.
Flip them.
Yep.
Now, did you have to have a license to do that?
I would think if you had so many, you would have to.
But I mean, you actually had them in your name? Or did you just be a pass-through? You drove it for a month and then...
No. I mean, they would go in my name or my stepdad's name
What's the coolest one that you wish you wouldn't have sold?
Oh, I had a 1980 Olds two-door Delta that I put a 455 in.
Oh.
Yep. That was pretty fun. My wife hated it. Absolutely hated it.
What kind of exhaust system did you have?
Dual exhaust with just straight through, no mufflers.
And what did the townspeople think of that?
I didn't own it for very long. I got pulled over in it a couple times.
Because of the noise?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you live in a town that say, no backfire or whatever you call that?
Yep.
What do they call that when you can't come into town in low gear?
Well, with that on a semi, it's actually a Jake brake.
Okay.
Jake brake or an exhaust brake. It's completely different. But.
Okay, but what does the sign say that they don't want you to do
that? I think
that?
It says no exhaust brake.
Oh, okay. I always thought they kind of sounded cool.
Yeah, but they are loud.
Yeah. And motorcyclists like to do that.
Yeah.
Do you have a motorcycle?
I do not. I stay on things with four wheels.
Okay. Well, we will make our last break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and then we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with Jacob McQuiston. He's the general manager of Docmo Ford Chrysler and part owner, Highway 3 South.
Leo South in Lakeville is not your typical power sports company. It's family-owned and run, meaning you actually get to talk
time
to the owners. What's
quick.
Even more impressive is they have 25-plus employees, and they all work every hour they're open. So you don't have to stand in long lines waiting for help. Plus, get faster and more coordinated service. And getting parts, well, there's so much experience behind the parts counter, you'll be amazed. Our motto is we sell fun. But every day, our mission is to help you from finding parts, getting service, or shopping for something new. And fun, too. Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
When you work with folks you know, like me, Mark Quinnell, you know what to expect. That's why you should give State Farm Bank a try. A State Farm agent that helps protect your home, your car, and your family can help with your banking needs. It's more than just banking. It's banking with a good neighbor. State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Some products and services are not available in all areas. For information, call me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
This is Matt Hillman, superintendent of the Northfield Public Schools.
Research shows tremendous long-term benefits for students who access high-quality preschool. Our community also expects common-sense solutions to enhance the security of our schools. The Northfield School District Bond Referendum aims to address both of these important points. Please visit the district website at northfieldschools.org to learn more and make sure to vote on November 6th. We all want our children to have a strong start and to attend secure schools.
Prepared and paid for by Northfield Public Schools.
The Quarterback Club in Northfield serves the best flame-broiled burgers, baby back ribs, and chicken in Northfield. They also have daily specials that are sure to satisfy. Every meal is made to order, and you can dine in or take out. For daily specials, quality food, and great prices, make it the Quarterback Club in Northfield.
Warn me, so you have to get rid of this one.
I don't think so.
You know what? I know you're trying to read upside down now.
I know the song, I'm just trying to...
What's the name of the song? And what's the reason you know it? I just gave you a hint. It's called The Reason.
Okay.
And it's done by Hoobastank. Have you ever heard of that?
Yep.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah.
Hoobastank?
Yep.
Never heard of it. So this is a safe song.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what the top 10 tunes were, and you tell me yes or no. I'm not going to play them. Mm-hmm. And you tell me yes, I should, or no, I shouldn't if I could. Terror Squad, Lean Back. Number 10.
Maybe questionable.
Okay. Is it Chara? My Goodies?
Probably questionable.
Sierra or Chara?
It's Sierra.
Hey Ya by Outkast?
That's probably safe.
I Don't Want to Know, Mario Winans?
I don't know that song.
The Way You Move, Outkast?
Probably safe.
Okay, and we played the other ones, so.
Okay.
Half of them.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for being my censor guy
here
on the Wayne Eddy Affair. So let's do a wrap-up on this. Jacob McQuiston, general manager at DocMo Ford, is a guy that grew up in Menominee, Wisconsin, and he's the youngest of four children. His brother Mark, 8 years older, Chris, 7 years older, and his sister Lindsay, 4 years older. And he is married to Nicole, and Nicole had three young daughters. Well, they were young when they were born, for sure. But Molly is 9, Mackenzie is 6, and Macy is 3. And if I'm correct, their middle names all also start with an M.
Yes.
So you're the M&M girls. And you and your partners, Doug, Bart, and Joe, have dealerships in Hastings, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had anybody drive by in their older car, go down to Treasure Island, and come back and say, I won! I want a new car!
We've never had someone purchase a vehicle completely in winnings, but we have had people get their down payment from that.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty good deal. So what about the immediate future in regards to your participation in Northfield as owner, part owner, going to be part owner of DocMo Ford Chrysler in the immediate future?
Yeah, so the big thing that we want to continue is our commitment to the community and our commitment to what we have always supported as far as Defeated Jesse James Days. There's a lot of other things that we're involved with, too, that we think is important. And just to invite anyone in the store who hasn't met me yet, wants to come see me. Typically, if we are open, I am there. And I'd just like to meet everybody in town, and if anybody has any questions or needs anything, to come see us or call. And we just want to continue to be a strong business, a good business in Northfield, and continue to provide good vehicles at fair prices and provide good service also.
Plus, you have to, I have to say that Clancy worked it out, and he's got probably one of the best signs in town. Because this town has its limitations on what you can do with billboards and signs.
Okay.
And all that. And that's a nice sign. DACMO.
Yep.
And there is one thing that I have to admit, and I hate to end the interview like this, but there is some great disappointment that I have in DACMO.
Okay.
And would you like to know what it
sure.
is?
Sure. Yes, okay. I definitely would.
Okay, let's see if you can take care of it.
Okay.
Clancy and I have talked about it, but he's never taken my advice on taking me with him when he goes on one of his fishing jaunts.
All right, I will see.
I always have wanted to go fishing with Clancy.
Yep.
I just think he would guide me to the fish. So you tell him that's my only complaint.
All right, I will talk to him about that.
And tell him also that, if you can remember this, just say, I hate this game. I love this game. And he'll know what you're talking about. I hate this game. I love this game.
Is it a bowling reference?
Yes. How did you know that?
Because he goes bowling on Mondays.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.